back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well. Just again, getting through another week here, and we have finally the news I think that we've been waiting for that has been long overdue. Where Dave, if you let me do the honors,
yes,
it was. In case you didn't know, I feel like it's like when it's that scene at the end of Return of the Jedi when the second Death Star falls. And you have the celebrations going around around the galaxy that like the Empire has fallen. And it's similar in that sense. But if you didn't know, it was announced on Friday, this past Friday, the 10th, that the Flyers, in their words, released president and general manager Chuck Fletcher, relieved him of his duties, fired him, said, see you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Sayonara, asshole.
Chuck Fletcher is now gone from the Flyers, and the entire Flyers fandom, especially Flyers Twitter, can rejoice in a way that a general manager who became hated among fans became very... I don't even want to say polarizing among hockey fans, but more, I guess, baffling, where even people outside of the Flyers organization were thinking, what is going on? What is this guy doing? Mainly, obviously, because of the JBR trade most recently and how he handled the trade deadline. But I mean, again, we saw over these past, four years now?
Yeah.
Where the Flyers have just... sank, and they've become, again, like you said, I think last week, they've become what the Minnesota Wild were, the white bread of hockey, they've become nothing special. They've become a hollow shell of their former selves, whether it be through Fletcher's actions or through Comcast Spectacor. But we've gone through a lot of tumultuous times under this regime, so to speak, and the Flyers finally made the right move in pretty much everyone's opinion and got rid of Fletcher, and then announced just right after that was that Daniel Briere, former Flyers player. If you don't know who he is, read a book, look at a YouTube video of highlights.
And he's in the news for another reason today with his son. We're not going to go into that.
Well, but, I guess he might not. Yeah, maybe he won't be GM for too long. But Briere was he was serving as special assistant to the general manager.
Dwight Schrute's position in the Philadelphia Flyers.
Exactly. But he was named the interim GM while, according to the Flyers news release, he was named interim GM while the organization begins the process of permanently filling, which are now two separate positions, the president of hockey ops and general manager. Daniel Briere did begin his stint, quote unquote, with as the interim GM this past Saturday in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. A rough start, but I think it's going to be bad, if not worse, before things get better for the Flyers here, because there's only just about, I think, 16 games or so left at this point. The Flyers did get some help from actually pretty much everyone last night. In the Bedard race, which we'll talk about later as well, but they dropped to now the bottom five of the NHL and are currently, I mean, they have the fifth best odds to draft first overall, which is great. I mean, it's something, again, we're not going to root for the tank, but it's something where if it happens, it happens. I guess that's how I'll phrase it.
I'm rooting for the tank at this point.
I guess at this point we can do whatever we want. And if by some miracle that gets us a generational talent in Connor Bedard, then hell, I mean, I will say if they make every game like they did last night, where they at least make it entertaining, then I won't be too upset if they end up losing out for the most part these next few games.
Sandstrom every single game now for the rest of the year.
But I think it's tough because you have two sides here. We have the side of the fans, but you also have the side of the players. And obviously hockey players are very proud individuals. You want to play for your teammates, play for that. Obviously the sweater, the crest on the front, not the name on the back, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And regardless of the talent that this team has, there's good guys. They have good players. They don't have that high-end talent that they need, that they have needed. But again, we've seen more positives this year than I think the last couple years, where we've seen glimmers of hope in the prospect pipeline, in the form of Sam Harrison, Elliot Denoyer, Tyson Forster, who made his debut the other night. Owen Tippett has had
Cam York.
I mean, you can name a good, what, 6-7 guys who have had bounce back seasons. Travis Konechny, I mean, it sucks that he's obviously hurt right now, but I believe he is skating with the team.
Yes, and as is Sean Couturier now.
Yeah, so, but I think that the Fletcher firing, at least for me, brings back some sliver of hope going forward, where if the Flyers, and again, we saw on the day that this happened that this isn't the last move the Flyers are going to make for their front office, which again, we'll go over tonight, but I think that now it's a matter of finishing out this regular season. The team will also again search for other people that they think maybe fit that, well, I guess both the roles of president of hockey ops and general manager, so there'll be two instead of one. But whether it's Briere, whether it's someone else, I mean, it's a good thing. So it's a step in the right direction. It's a big step in the right direction, but there's still more that needs to be done to get this team back to where the fans want it, back to where a team like the Flyers deserve to be, because they're such a prestigious organization in the NHL and in sports in general, and back to just how a Philadelphia team should be, where you're competitive each and every night, you give it your all, you have the fans behind you instead of against you, and you just, again, you get things back on track, and it may get worse before it gets better, but you have to rebuild or have a fire sale or however you want to say it. If you're not scared to say words like Fletcher was, you have to do something now to, again, for the umpteenth time, put up or shut up. And I think at this point, this was kind of the catalyst for that real change to actually start happening. So I can say that there is a degree of excitement to see where things go from here.
Yeah, no, I share that sentiment, Matt. I'm actually excited and looking forward to the future of Flyers hockey, because just last week, I mean, you heard me rant on this very podcast about how upset I was, and I shared my sentiment and my statement and opinions last week were ones shared by a lot of fellow Flyers fans, especially on Flyers Twitter. And now with Chuck Fletcher gone and the possibility of Dave Scott retiring at some point during the year or the off season, and the old figureheads and the Broad Street Bullies being removed out in place, it goes, aha, things are finally in place. We're getting a direction of a rebuild. Now, whether or not Danny Briere, you know, he said he wasn't afraid to use the rebuild word. I'm not going to phrase it the way Sam Carcini phrased it, because that was cringe. But, you know, he wasn't afraid to say rebuild, and he admitted this is going to be a multi-year process. The Flyers, whether it's Danny Briere, whether he gets the interim tag removed and he is named the general manager, whether it's him or whether it's someone else, there's a lot of work to do here. You know, they've got a lot of players who are on, you know, they're in cap hell. So they have a lot of older players they got to move off the books because they don't fit into the timeline. But then they also have a lot of younger players who are, you know, they're not quite that young, but they're in their mid to young 20s where, you know, do they fit the timeline and are they interested in being here for a rebuild? And if not, you know, how do we move them and gather good assets back? There was a lot of banter online this week about trading Carter Hart, which I think is one of the most asinine things you could do. We finally have a franchise goalie in our eyes, and if we trade him away, the return needs to be lights out. Like, it has to be a home run from the beginning. Because I personally, even though I'm going to pick Sam Ersson over Felix Sandstrom, I'm not sold enough on Ersson. We've only seen 10 games from him. But then there's other players, you know, like a Scott Laughton per se, or Travis Konecny or Joel Farabee, of whether or not do the Flyers hold on to these assets or do they move on to them like Ivan Provorov and Tony D'Angelo, et cetera, Travis Sanheim, but I can keep on going. So there's a lot to do here. But I'm just happy that the fact that we know we have a plan again, there's a path set forth, and we're no longer, you know, one step has been taken to be removed from hockey purgatory. We're not out there yet. More things need to follow, but yeah. One of the biggest things that I'm happy about is that they're separating the GM and president role. Because the way the order works, typically the GM answers to the president, and the president is the voice between ownership and the GM. That's very hard to do, to have the same person do that one job, because if you're the general manager like Chuck Fletcher was, and if you're not smart enough to be able to make up your own mind and have your own voice, which clearly he wasn't, you know, you got the rational things to do that you need to do for your hockey club that you need to do as general manager. But then you've got, on the other hand, you've got the owner in your ear being like, well, I need butts in seats. This team needs to win. Do X, Y, and Z. So then, since there's no buffer and no one to really calm down the ownership, he goes ahead and makes stupid moves. And that's where we got to where we were. So now we're going to have someone, hopefully two very smart people, you know, where as though, you know, the GM goes, well, you know what, hey, Prez, here's my idea, and this is what the team needs to do. Relay this to ownership in the best way that they're going to understand. Because you need to have that equal level of sustainability for anything to be a success. Every other team does it. I mean, even Pittsburgh. You know, Ron Hextall is GM, and then they've got Brian Burke is their president of hockey ops. The Columbus Blue Jackets have it, you know, with the Jarmo Kekäläinen and John Davidson. The Montreal Canadiens have it with Kent Hughes and the old GM of the Rangers.
Bergevin.
No, Bergevin's gone. It's Kent.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
It's Kent Hughes and the old GM of the Rangers before Chris Drury took over. But a lot of teams in the league, they have these two roles separated, which is they need to do. And there's been a lot of interesting names thrown about and tossed around. Chris Pronger, Eric Lindros, you know, those would be two huge names. And I know last week when I said you needed to move on from past Flyers, you know, we need to have two fresh faces. I should clarify on that statement. You need to move on from the Broad Street Bullies. And this was a point made by a lot of other podcasts and, you know, a lot of other Flyers fans online. Like I said last week, the Broad Street Bully mentality of winning hockey games is not how you win in the year 2023. You know, even though Eric Lindros has never been involved in hockey ops since he retired, he's been on a couple, you know, hockey podcasts, most recently Steve Dangle's podcast, where he vented about the Flyers, where you can tell he definitely is a fan and watches the team, and he has an idea of what is wrong and maybe how he could fix it. But Chris Pronger, before he got involved with his travel business with his wife, he was working in hockey ops for the Florida Panthers.
Yep.
So there's a lot of smart people. And also, the Flyers, regardless of what their state is now, they're a prestigious organization. When you talk to a lot of big hockey people, they say, you know what, you've got the original six. And then you have the Philadelphia Flyers. There will be people, regardless of what people, some negative people will tell you online on social media, there will be people lining up and saying, I want to interview for this role, whether it's GM or president, to be associated with the Philadelphia Flyers. Because the league, you know, they hold prestige. They're a big piece of hockey history. Yeah. They're a proud franchise and a proud organization. And a lot of people are going to come work for them. And, you know, hopefully the right moves are made and we can go from here. And maybe it is a rebuild that we're about to go through. So we're not talking, you know, we thought we were real rebuilding with Ron Hextall. Clearly, yeah, that was not the case. And that was cut too short based off of what we saw from ownership size and where we are now. But we need to actually be prepared for worse things than what we endure with Ron Hextall. You mean you never know if the Flyers do luck into Connor Bedard in the first overall pick. He's a generational talent, and he like an Austin Matthews, like a Connor McDavid, like an Nathan MacKinnon, he fast forwards your rebuild timeline because of just how good that player is.
Yeah.
But if you don't luck in that first overall pick, I mean, you're probably still picking top five. So maybe you're getting a Michkov if you can get him over from Russia. Maybe you are getting an Adam Fantilli from the University of Michigan. Boo. I'm blanking on the guy's name. I just drafted him in GM mode the other night, but he's a top Swedish prospect who's a 6'4 left winger and center. And the dude is
Michkov?
No, Michkov's the Russian. There's a massive Swedish sniper power forward who's supposed to go top five in the draft. And I'm blanking on his name. I had it in my head 2 seconds ago. But, like, if you draft anyone else besides Bedard, they're still a franchise-level player, but they're probably not to the extent right away. Like, it might take a couple years for them to fully, you know, develop into what they could be. But I just want to prepare a lot of Flyers fans. We're going to go through, finally, some years of actual pain. But good pain, because hopefully you're rewarded at the end of the year with sucking high-end talent via the draft. And that's how you do it. You have to suffer to get better. And I know we've been suffering for a decade, but this is going to be a different hurt. This will at least be a hurt where we know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I still have some sinking feeling that the Blackhawks are going to end up with Bedard.
Oh, or Arizona.
Yeah.
Imagine he goes to Columbus.
There's always that whole, like, oh, the draft lottery's rigged sort of thing, but it's like the NHL could not have a more perfect scenario for themselves where the Blackhawks go from, what, almost 20 years of the Blackhawks being, like, good. They have their three cups in 5 years. Then you have the whole Kane and Taze obviously go away. They fire sale their team. They're terrible. Yeah. But you know what I mean? But it's like, and then when all seems bleak and it's like, oh, the Blackhawks aren't what they used to be, blah, blah, blah. It's like, then they just get a keystone piece of a future, another possible future.
It would just be like how the league awarded Crosby and Malkin and Fleury to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It'd be the exact same situation all over again.
And, I understand, too, I think it's interesting, the whole thing with Columbus's situation, because they've really only been plagued by injuries this year, whereas if they had a healthy roster, I mean, I'm pretty sure Gaudreau just had a five-point night last night, because Columbus beat the Sharks to officially eliminate San Jose from the playoffs.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if Columbus had a healthy roster, then they would not be nearly as bad as they are right now. But I mean, again, it's a lottery, obviously, for a reason. But there's always those ulterior motives that you think about where maybe the league is looking out for its own, so to speak. But as we've said before, I mean, I can't argue again that an original six franchise like the Blackhawks is beneficial for the league for them to be good. That's what I was trying to say. But also you can have that same thought process with the Flyers where it's mm-hmm. like, hey, this is, again, like you said, they're an unofficial original six team in the first expansion, why not us, so to speak? So,
I mean,
the draft lottery is on May 8th, which we'll talk about, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to get even more interesting here, where it's like you have the playoff race, obviously, for teams that are either in the mix on the bubble or whatever, but then you have who's going to kind of sink to the bottom, so to speak, whether it's by tanking or just being bad. So I don't know. We'll see. But go ahead.
I was just saying, personally, Matt, I'm looking at the standings. Out of the bottom five teams, it's us, Anaheim, Chicago, San Jose, and Columbus in that order from five to worst overall, from fifth worst. We're the most deserving. And I'm going to be selfish, but Anaheim, you've been stinking forever. Like, you really haven't been that good in over 20 years. Just accept the suck for a little bit longer. You already have Trevor Segers, Troy Terry, and Jamie Drysdale. You have a future pipeline. Chicago, you won 3 cups in 5 years. You literally just started sucking. You can suck for a little bit longer. San Jose, you had your shot. You blew it. Sorry, move on. Columbus, sorry. No one gives a shit about you. You're Columbus, Ohio. Who gives a shit? Like, yeah. Move on. Flyers fans, we deserve Bedard.
Yeah,
we've done our time. We were dicked out of Patrick Kane with JVR. We were dicked over between Nico Hischier or Kale McCarr with Nolan Patrick. It's time that we get the guy in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell at this point. But again, like you said, with Fletcher being fired and Briere being hired, it's a step in the right direction. Also, again, arguably in the step in the right direction is that the Flyers are on a 4-game losing streak. Going back to the Tampa Bay game we talked about last week. But then the next night, they took on the Carolina Hurricanes in Carolina, losing 1-0 on an early power play goal from Andrei Svechnikov.
That's a rough loss for the Hurricanes there.
Yeah, just over 2 minutes into the first period.
Obviously, the Flyers didn't lose, but Svechnikov got hurt the other night, and he's done for the year,
yeah,
including playoffs. So that's a big hurt to the Hurricanes, but continue, Mastro.
Well, yeah, so the Flyers got shut out that night. Honestly, from what I watched, I watched a good part of the game. The Flyers played well, but I think, again, they didn't have the talent to match up to Carolina. And Peter Kochetkov was up for the AHL. And, of course, makes his first NHL start in 3 months and
gets a shutout.
So I mean,
the Hurricanes are stacked. Like, their goalie pipeline right now, they got Frederick Anderson, the Finnish goalie they've got, who's their backup, Antti Raanta.
Yep.
And they've got this Peter Kochetkov kid who's a stud. And I'm like, wow. Imagine if the Carolina Hurricanes owner actually was like to spend money. And went out and got some big free agents. They're already a scary team. They could be scarier.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, not an ugly loss, but, again, just a loss in general. The Flyers only mustered up 19 shots on goal, with the Hurricanes mustering up 29. Carolina went 1-for-4 in the power play, while the Flyers went 0-for-1. And, it's not a terrible loss, but it's a loss nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't catch any of that game last week because I had beer league. So,
gotcha.
I was checking on the updates and listening to it on the radio a little bit on my commute to men's league. But I'm glad they lost, and at least it was entertaining. But
yeah,
any L at this point is a W in my mind.
Well, I mean, you'd be happy with the next result here on Saturday afternoon,
losing the Penguins. I hate losing to the Penguins. Yeah.
In the Steel City, an ugly one for the Flyers as they battle their cross-state rivals, the Penguins, in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh got off to a good start. I was the dude who asked to put the Flyers game on at the bar.
Were you at Crafty's?
Yeah.
Hey, what a spot. That's a great spot for a game.
Yep.
No free ads, though. Unless Crafty's, unless you want to sponsor.
So I literally asked to put it on, and then about halfway through the first period, my friend goes, I think I want to go home. And I went, Okay, I ended up watching the rest of my game, the rest of the game at my apartment. But again, it was not really fun to watch because I saw the only Flyers goal at the bar, and then the rest was just Pittsburgh from there. But again, they get pretty. I mean, shots were even at 32 apiece, but it was not much of a game. The Flyers did have. They were within. No, never mind. I was going to say they were never within one goal. but yeah, I mean, again, this shows just how outmatched the Flyers are against teams like the Penguins. But even Pittsburgh, I mean, has had a little bit of a fall from grace in the recent years where I think as of right now, if I just double check here, I think they are in the second wild card spot.
I got
the they're in the first. So they're 2 points ahead of the Islanders, with 78 points for the first wild card in the East. But they have some teams hot on their heels. The Panthers and the Sabres, even the Capitals, maybe.
Even Ottawa.
So, yeah, I mean, it's anyone's game at this point, especially for a wild card spot, I think. But Pittsburgh, again, I mean, it always sucks more when they lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But and then we go to last night in the Wells Fargo Center, the Flyers' first game of a 7 game homestand over the next just about a week and a half here. The Flyers lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3. They were down at one point. I believe they were down 3-1 or 4-1, and they came back and made it interesting. This is typical Flyers, and no offense to him personally, but Nick Seeler has what has been deemed the goal of the year for the Flyers. Again, no offense to him personally, but you know things are bad when a guy like Nick Seeler has the goal of the year for your team.
It's an unreal move. And it goes to show where for all these people who say, oh, this guy sucks, just keep in mind, if that guy, Nick Seeler, came into our beer league that we play in, Mastro, he would be the best player on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
Dangling without... you know, at ease, doing whatever he wants.
Yep. So, but again, I mean, Vegas, they're in the mix for the playoffs as well. Jonathan Quick won his fourth start in a row for them since being traded from the Blue Jackets, which is weird to say.
Well, traded from the Kings, and then from the Blue
after
Jackets.
After he was traded from the Kings, yeah. Jonathan Marchessault had 3 points, and then Ivan Barbashev had a pair of goals, yes, including the empty netter to make it 5-3. But again, the Flyers, again, they put up a good fight last night, but it's a rule of thumb in hockey where if you fall behind early, you can't always come back. So it's kind of what you chalk it up to for last night.
Yeah, and another game I did not get to watch because of beer league. So a couple of highlights. Trust me, the Nick Seeler goal was all we were talking about in the locker room after the dub we got last night. So
my shoulders are starting to hurt here from being the only one that watches the games now.
It blame the commissioner of Revolution Ice Gardens and Bucks County Ice Sports Center's Men's League for literally scheduling us every night the Flyers play. We've had a crazy Men's League schedule. It's been almost like a pro hockey player. Literally games on Monday, Thursday, then Sunday, Tuesday, and then we've got a game next Monday.
Well,
cramming the schedule in.
They have games next week. They have games on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. So
they play this Friday night too.
I'll give you some homework, and your homework is to actually watch a game.
Yes, sir, I think I can fit that in.
Game in full as best you can, because I know it is hard, but have one on at least in the background in which you're loosely paying attention to.
Hey, well, this is a perfect time to throw in a quick little shout out. I'll have to show my new nephew the Flyers at some point.
There you go.
So Joseph Thomas Morris Smith, born yesterday on Pi Day, March 14th. So congrats to my brother-in-law and sister. So I have a new little guy to shape and mold and teach him how the Philadelphia Flyers will bring him pain forever.
He's going to be like an adult. You'll be an old guy, and he'll be like, let me tell you about the Philadelphia Flyers back in the 2010s and the early 2020s.
Yep, he's got a lot to look forward to.
And it's like, what? I don't even know. Is it from a? I think it's from a book, right, or a play. It was the best of times. It was the worst.
It was the worst of times. Yeah, I've heard that's from too. But yeah, you know, it's accurate.
Yeah. But going back to the Flyers schedule here, Dave, congrats to your sister and your brother-in-law on their nephew. I'm happy for you as an uncle.
My nephew, their son.
On their son, your nephew. You know what I mean? Hopefully you'll be the Funkle Dave.
I've got big shoes to fill because growing up, my Uncle Dave, not to say my Uncle Colin wasn't a Funkle because he was also, both of them were very good uncles, but like Uncle Dave was like Uncle Dave. He's almost like a father. So I've got, now being also the next Uncle Dave, it's like, well shit, I got to live up to a lot of things.
You might as
here.
Well start reading a parenting book right now. We'll cut the podcast short. You got to go read some books about how to be a good uncle.
I got to catch up on some stuff.
But going back to the Flyers here, their schedule over the next, I guess at least the next three games, since we potentially come back with you guys on Wednesday night of the 22nd. They are in action back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday this weekend, both at home again against the Buffalo Sabres on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then a Saturday evening, I guess. An early evening matchup against the Carolina Hurricanes at 5 o'clock, which is interesting. And then obviously Friday being St. Patty's Day, so wear your green. If you're even going to the game, wear green. And then from there, on Tuesday the 21st, they are in action against the Florida Panthers, again at home. And then just to give you a rundown here, for the rest of that week, they have the Minnesota Wild at 6:30 on Thursday night, another interesting time. And then a Saturday matinee matchup against the Detroit Red Wings on Saturday the 25th. And, you know, we go from there. But these are four or five games where I think, as we've said earlier, it's all up in the air at this point. The Flyers did kind of surprise everyone with the Buffalo Sabres. They shut them out 4-0 earlier in the year. I'm not going to count on them doing anything exciting to the Hurricanes, but without Svechnikov, you never know. And then Florida's been, I mean, Florida has not been a President Trophy type team this year, so that could also be a toss-up. But again, at this point, like we've said, we're here for the ride. So
we'll see what happens.
That's the matchups coming up here, and we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good teams coming into town, but a lot of teams that are in the playoff hunt. And Buffalo, really interesting. For being in the mix, they're kind of dropping off. They got their tires absolutely deflated the other night when they lost 10. The Dallas Stars beat them like 10-4 or something, and they left the same goalie in net for all 10 goals. So
yikes.
Yeah, double yikes there. So no, there could be some good games in here. You know, hopefully maybe a win or two would be okay. But at this point, like I said earlier, any loss is a win in my book. So
yeah,
you got to tank for Bedard, baby. Tank away.
But actually, I guess we can use this as our segue to going back around the league since we didn't do it last week with so much Flyers coverage to talk about. But we'll keep it on the subject of Connor Bedard. As it was announced earlier today, the NHL draft lottery will be revealed on May 8th when the NHL conducts the annual draft lottery live from NHL Network Studios in Secaucus, New Jersey, according to NHL.com. Today, the NHL announced its critical date schedule for the rest of the season. Wednesday, day three of the annual NHL General Managers meetings. I think it's in Palm Beach, Florida. Yeah. The draft lottery will be a 30-minute standalone show from 7 to 7:30 Eastern that'll be broadcast live on ESPN in the United States, Sportsnet, and TVAS in Canada, and it will determine the order of the selection for the first 16 picks in the first round of the 2023 Upper Deck NHL Draft at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. The first round of the draft is slated for June 28th, with rounds 2 through 7 the next day on June 29th. And then Participants will all be the teams that do not qualify for the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs or teams that have acquired the first round pick from a non-playoff team as well. The winner will earn the right to select Bedard. This is also, I mean, he's the consensus top prospect and projected number one overall pick. The forward currently has 125 points in 51 games for Regina in the Western Hockey League this season.
And you know what Deadpool said about Regina.
And he also helped Canada. Yeah, he also helped Canada the gold medal at the 2023 World Junior Championship with 23 points in 7 games.
Ridiculous.
Again, Nashville is also the host of the 2023 NHL Awards, which will be at Bridgestone Arena on June 26th. And then also the top prospects of the draft will gather at the 2023 NHL Scouting Combine from June 4th to 10th at Lechem Harbor Center in Buffalo. And then additionally, another couple key dates here. The NHL announced that the 2023 playoffs will begin on April 17th, and game one of the Stanley Cup final is tentatively scheduled for June 3rd. There is a possibility that date is moved up depending on how quickly the previous rounds are played. But Dave, just all the key dates coming up in the next couple months or so for the NHL here, obviously the draft lottery being perhaps the biggest one to see who will land Connor Bedard.
Yeah, that is, you know, that is the key thing. And hopefully, you know, as they say in the Hunger Games, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah. And then I don't know if this is really in favor too much here, but for our next topic, we have the NHL salary cap. It's been made out to seem exciting, quote unquote, but it's not.
It involves Gary Bettman, therefore not exciting.
Yeah. Again, according to NHL.com, the NHL salary cap next season is expected to be $83.5 million, a whopping $1 million increase.
But $1 million.
Yeah. But there is a chance it could go up more depending on a variety of factors, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said earlier today.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah.
I'm just filling in with movie lines here right now.
Just keep rolling. I'll as long as you interject at the proper times, I'll let you keep going. Earlier today, Bettman spoke on the last day of the NHL general managers meetings, said that the cap could increase by about $4.5 million instead of $1 million if hockey related revenues for the rest of this season exceed the current projections, allowing the remaining escrow debt owed by the players to be the owners paid in full. The NHL would have to exceed its current HRR projections by about $100 million for the debt to be repaid this season, which is an improvement from what Bettman said following the NHL Board of Governors meeting back in December, when he estimated HRR, hockey-related revenue, would have to exceed the current projections by between $140 million and $150 million for the debt to be repaid this season. If it is not repaid in full this season, it will be next season, meaning the cap would go up to about $88 million for 2024-2025. It was $81.5 million for 3 straight seasons before going up to $82.5 million this season. Those 3 straight seasons were due to COVID and the pandemic and all that. So, and then Bettman also left open the possibility that the NHL and the NHL Players Association could agree to raise the cap for next season, even if the debt is not paid off in full. But raising the salary cap prematurely would also require the NHL to raise the 6% escrow rates the players are required to pay in the last 3 years of the NHL-NHLPA collective bargaining agreement. It's a shame that sports come down to business and money, even though we're playing a game, but these are the types of things that have to be talked about. They have to be settled. They have to be planned. They have to be changed and scrutinized in every which way, so to speak. But we don't want another lockout, that's for sure. We've already gone through enough of those. So whatever happens, happens. Any progress is good progress, so to speak, where even if the cap does go up just by $1 million next year, great. If it goes up by $4.5 million, even better. If it goes up somewhere between that, great. But I think as long as it keeps going up, either little by little, or it makes these bigger jumps as well throughout the years, then something's going right.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL is so far behind when it comes to pro sports player salaries. They're like the lowest out of all the four major pro sports leagues. But I'm a proponent where the NHL needs to adapt a similar cap style to what the MLB has, where you've got the salary cap, then you also have a luxury tax. Because right now, with the way the NHL salary cap's put in place, is you're punishing teams for drafting and developing their elite talent. You're saying, okay, you can draft players A through E. But if you draft and develop them well to all point where they're, you know, asking for what they're due, you can only keep A through C and need to, you know, lose D and E. How is that really fair? You know, if you can institute a draft, if not a draft lottery, we already have that. If you can institute a luxury tax for the richer teams, you know, it's going to make a lot of teams hold on to their draft capital, keep them longer, and stay in contention longer. And yes, it breaks the parity that the NHL loves to have. But you know what? Some teams, every league needs some teams that just suck. And let's be real. The NHL already has that with the Arizona Coyotes. So what's going to change? Yeah. Nothing really. You might just see Colorado, Detroit, the Flyers, the Rangers, you know, these Toronto, Boston, the good teams will stay better longer if a luxury tax is instituted. Personally, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, it all comes down to business and money, but if both the organizations, as in the NHL and the NHLPA, can see eye to eye on things, then just let things progress as they need to be, so to speak. Yep. And then, speaking of increases and progression, we have some more good news out of the league this evening. It came out that NHL viewership on ABC, ESPN Plus, and TNT is experiencing significant climbs this season. Once again, according to NHL.com, nationally televised games on ABC are averaging 1.1 total viewers. Or 1.1 million total viewers.
They have 1.1 viewer. They have one and not even a quarter person.
1.1 million total viewers. I don't know why I can't say that correctly. Which is up 19% from ABC's full season average during the 2021-22 season. Just a couple examples here quick. The 1 o'clock Eastern game between the Detroit Red Wings and the Boston Bruins last Saturday averaged 1.13 million viewers, peaking at 1.5, making it the second most viewed ABC game this season, behind only the Stadium Series game between the Hurricanes and the Capitals back on February 18th, even though they got killed. The second game last Saturday with the Flyers and the Penguins averaged 1.04 million viewers, peaking at 1.7, another good type of thing. And then, according to David Proper, who is the NHL Senior Executive Vice President of Media and International Strategy, there's a title for you, quoted saying, "We're in the final quarter of our season and the playoffs pushes on. There are tight races in both conferences and the 2022-23 campaign is on pace to be the highest scoring season in 27 years. It's an exciting time of the year and our outstanding product on the ice, combined with the tremendous job that our value partners ESPN and TNT are doing to engage and entertain fans, is demonstrated in strong viewership numbers." The next game to air on ABC for their Hockey Saturday lineup will be Saturday at 8 o'clock at night with the New York Rangers hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then over to TNT, viewership for NHL and TNT live game coverage on Sunday is up 42% from last season. And then game streaming on ESPN Plus and Hulu are also setting new benchmarks as well. If you didn't know, again, this is the second year of a historic and innovative seven-year TV deal with streaming and media rights between the NHL, the Walt Disney Company, and ESPN. Also, as well, the NHL and Turner Sports began a 7-year media rights agreement last season, with this year the Stanley Cup final being on TNT as opposed to ESPN. So, good things are happening in the NHL. Not really much to complain about, except for that whole, the board ads are great. Like, that was kind of a lie, I think. No one really likes those. They get in the way at points. So, but other than that, I mean, it's good to see things like this come out.
Yeah, I mean, this is how you grow the game. You know, the fact that viewership is going up means people are tuning in. And, you know, obviously, you can expect dips in ratings when you get to the doldrums and the low points of the hockey season right after the holidays. Like, that the months of January and February kind of tend to have viewership dip down low. But then once you really get to March, you know, when the playoff race heats, and then April, May, and June during the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's when viewership should be at your highest. So the fact that we're kind of seeing a raise of viewership right now as the hockey season's starting to heat up, no pun intended there, as we are coming up on springtime now. Looking forward to it, and it's all good, all good things ahead.
Definitely. So we'll end tonight with a sort of fun thing that happened on Tuesday, last night. If you didn't know, there was a game between the Rangers and the Capitals. I believe it was at MSG, but I think we touched on this 2 or 3 weeks ago in our Around the League segment here. But the NHL collaborated with ESPN and Disney to bring fans the NHL Big City Greens Classic, with the game being provided as a fully animated broadcast in the style of Big City Greens, which I think is a Disney Channel show. I don't know much about it, but in case you didn't know, the NHL and Disney and ESPN, they produced, it was a simultaneous telecast, whereas you could watch the live action game, I believe it was on ESPN, so you could watch, obviously, MSG, the real deal, so to speak. But on top of that, if you were, let's say, a parent, or I don't know, I mean, if you were me and you're bored, I checked out the simulcast where the NHL and Disney and ESPN, they used the league's player and puck tracking technology to create a fully animated broadcast of that game going on in real time with real commentary. But instead of the actual players, they were using characters from the show Big City Greens as the players. But it was very entertaining. I think it's an outside the box sort of thing that the NHL needs to grow the game, like you said. And then it appeals to a multitude of audiences, where you have parents with their kids who, if their kids like Big City Greens and they like hockey, this is best of both worlds, so to speak, the crossover that they wanted. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a hockey fan, again, like, it was just cool to see. Like, I scrolled through Twitter a bit last night, and I was like, oh, they, like, Mika Zibanejad scored a goal in real life, but then here it is as a cartoon, or here's Patrick Kane scoring a goal as a cartoon. Like, so it was very fun. As we said beforehand, Dave, before we started recording here, it's like the NHL's version of the NFL on Nickelodeon, where you have the slime zone, you have all the characters from shows coming in to do commentary, so to speak. The biggest thing, obviously, again, is appealing to a wider range of audience. And the NHL, I think, did a really good job, even a great job with it the other night, doing the Big City Greens game. And again, having that simulcast of, you want to watch the real thing or do you want to watch a cartoon version of it? I was kind of skeptical about how it was going to go, but from what I saw and from what I heard, and I mean, the reactions I saw were all positive, which is cool. So hopefully the NHL can do something like this again down the road, maybe with a different Disney show or different teams. So I think it's just good to grow the game, I think. And this is a very unique, a very fun way to do it. And I mean, again, two thumbs up to the NHL.
Yeah, I like the idea a lot. I'll have to check it out and take a peek at it. But it is something fun to do for parents who have kids who you want to introduce your kids to hockey this way if you're a fan of the teams. And then also, you know, if you're you know, an adult, maybe they do it on a weekend and you have some buddies over and you do screen sharing and you put one on one screen and one on the other and have a night of it. I don't know, you know, enjoy a few beverages perhaps, but no, it's a cool, neat idea. And it's a way to try and get young kids into hockey. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like I said, it's a fun, unique twist on the game. Hell, maybe we'll have a Big City Greens All-Star Classic or something. Or
that would be very interesting.
They'll do it with an outdoor game or something like that. Where I think that they have to, again, the NHL being the way it is and having the advantages it has now with the television and streaming capabilities, they have to take advantage of things like these to grow the game. Where you don't have to have animated boards or, oh, this guy's shot was just 94 miles per hour. Like, if you want to grow the game, you have to appeal to any and all generations you can, where even if it's a kid, like, you have so many kids out there that love the game of hockey. And if they, again, if they're little kids or their parents love hockey as well, and they want to bring their kid into the game, last night was a perfect opportunity to do so, where you say, hey, I'm a Big City Greens fan. Like, I don't think any kid is going to say that. Like, no. You know what I mean? Like, if a kid is a big, if a kid is a big, Big City Greens fan, and then a parent sees this, then they're like, hey, like, again, if it was like, if I had a kid and it was like the Flyers and the Penguins might be interesting as a cartoon broadcast, because that might get chippy.
A little heated.
But, no, I mean, I think, again, if they can figure out how to do this as a regular sort of thing, or even bring in other shows where it's like, hey, have like a Disney extravaganza broadcast, where it's like you're bringing in different Disney characters and you have like, I don't know, it's, excuse my language, but it's, I won't even say it, it's effing Disney. They have enough money to do these like sort of things. Like,
yes,
bring in Baby Yoda for an NHL game.
Hey, Grogu, he has a name. That's like my biggest pet peeve right now. Oh, Baby Yoda. No, it's Grogu. Use his name, damn it.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean I'm sorry. I correct. It's a bad habit of mine.
All I'm saying is that, I mean, Disney owns enough property in any way, shape,
you
can
get like Lilo and Stitch calling a hockey game, or like Mickey Mouse and Goofy, or Donald Duck, you know, or
we can spend a whole podcast just talking about different Disney characters that could call a hockey game. Like, you get, you could literally, like, I mean, you could have what, like, Team House of Mouse versus Team, like, I don't know, Team Lilo and Stitch or something.
Have Wally be like a referee or something.
I would hope that they have creative minds behind these things that are also trying to figure out ways to do this for the NHL, where it's like, it would be cool if somehow they incorporated the NHL into like Star Wars or Marvel. Like, You have the rights to the characters, you have the partnership, like you have all the tools. It's just a matter of creating it. So, but again, last night was this is the theme of the podcast, I think, a step in the right direction.
Yes.
That could be our title. There we go.
Probably will be.
We don't have to text about it afterwards. That's exactly our title. A step in the right direction. So, but yeah, I mean, again, a fun thing for hockey and for fans of all ages. I know that sounds cliche, but that's what it is. But other than that, Dave, again, we're in the last leg of things here with the Flyers. Again, Fletcher is gone. Briere is now in charge for the time being until they possibly find a new GM and a new hockey president of hockey ops. So, as I'll quote from Shawshank Redemption, since we're doing movie quotes, I'll end my part of tonight by saying, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies.
That's well said, sir. And a great feel-good movie. And hopefully the Flyers become a feel-good story.
See, it's a theme tonight. We're at Disney, feel-good movies, movie quotes, like, it's good vibes tonight. It's good
and you know what? You know, as said in another movie, that's a bingo.
There you go.
See? It all works out.
I don't think that's Disney appropriate.
That movie is definitely not Disney appropriate. Those who know, know.
Yeah, if you know, you know. But no, I mean, again, it's all a step in the right direction, whether it's for the NHL or whether it's for the Flyers. You got to keep moving, and the best way to do it is just to move forward, and hopefully that forward is in a positive direction.
Yep, that's all we can ask for.
Yep. So with that, Dave, though, like I said, I will hand you the talking stick, as we say, and let you wrap us up for the week.
Yes. And as I end every podcast, if you listen to our show, you should also be listening to the Pod Street Bullies. I don't know at this point why you aren't. I tell everyone every week you need to listen to their podcast. Go ahead and do it. Lately, their podcast has been a little bit hoagie-less. But that do not let that deter you. That Patrick Hoax is not on their latest episodes. He will be back at some point. But the rest of the guys, Matt Casey, John, Derek, they're putting out pumping out weekly excellent Flyers content. Their latest podcast this week on Chuck Fletcher being fired was fantastic. If I do such a thing myself. So if you listen to us, listen to the Patrick Bullies. But with that, Flyers fans and listeners of Five Minute Major Radio. I leave you with this podcast episode with a pleasant greeting that, like Mastro and I just said, it's a step in the right direction. We're actually happy for once whilst recording a podcast to talk about the Flyers. I'd say I'm happy.
There's a lot more than happy. I think it's relieved is a good part of it.
Decompressed a little bit, you know.
There's that. It's about effing time. There's a lot of good, and it's a mix of good and great. But there's also, again, there's still that feeling of there's still a lot more work to be done.
This is one little chip. Yes. Now you got to chip away at this part, and then it goes from there to there to there. So
yeah.
But with that, everyone, enjoy your evening. Enjoy watching whatever hockey you watch to have fun. If that's watching the Flyers lose, watch the Flyers lose, because that equals a tank for Bedard. That's a win for all of us. So, but with that, everyone, good night, good hockey. We'll see you next week.